What's up, everyone? Welcome to another edition of the Sarlacc Digest, a podcast bringing you line talk and digesting Star Wars topics over 1,000 years. This is episode 252, being recorded on March 27th, 2024. I am your host, Darth Moocher. I've got Scott Solo and whatever that was in the background.
What's up, nerds?
Ah. Oh, my God. Yeah, he's the only one that could do it.
Now, he's the least evil of the four. He's emo. Why can't I do it?
Oh, sure. My God. Yeah, well, what the heck, man? Sorry, we got Blue Lake Joe.
Hey, you.
Whoa, easy there.
Fine, I'll do mine.
And we've got Grand Admiral Franz.
Howdy. Nothing about that one either.
Damn. He goes howdy into flames.
There's the demon. I'm jealous of Scott. I'm so upset right now.
Yeah, I'm sorry, you audio listeners. But that was very, very cool.
Scott was in a laser light show.
I throw up devil hands, look, and all of a sudden I have lasers. I don't know.
I don't get it. That's pretty cool though.
It is.
Anyway, before we get into all our Ernie is going to be joining us shortly after
celebrating his 500th subscriber.
There you go. We're just gonna have to have a graphic.
Oh, I love that even Tommy got in on that action.
Yeah.
Now it's 502.
We're still celebrating that.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's funny, boy. Stuff, man.
Well, before we get into all the cool Star Wars talk that we've got going on, because we do have some cool Star Wars talk, by the way, I'm going to give it over to Scott over there, and he's going to shout out our Shadow Council, plus everybody who's being digested in the pit. And I just want to throw this up before. I'm not saying Mooch is Batman, but you never see Mooch and Batman in the same room. I left my costume on. Sorry about that.
We never see Mooch and away. Puff Daddy in the same room either.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Wow. Oh my.
All right.
So a special shout out to our Shadow Council. That's right. It is our Patreon group. We've got AJ from the Forbidden Panel, Brandon and Anya Epler, Brian C, Cliff, Commander Cook, Crystal E, Dennis McGrath, Don the Dad Dorn, Eric Grubb, Flavy Davey, formerly of the Nerds with Attitude podcast, Gavin Connor from the Holy Hour All Cure podcast, Justin the Vanilla Thunder, Luke, a.k.a. Drunk Droid 77, Mervine Bolanos, Matt Logic, Nicholas Schaefer, Papa Schmitty, and our buddy Ryan from the Star Joes podcast. Hey, without you guys, I wouldn't be able to throw up devil hands and make laser lights happen behind me.
That was
apparently
an expensive add-on.
Awesome. I guess you blink and it's just there. So if you want to join up with our Patreon group, our Shadow Council, just scan that QR code right there and donate a couple of bucks a month. It goes right back into the making of this show, and we appreciate the heck out of it. So there we go. Boom. Oh, nice. And while I'm at it, let's just say hi to Don the Dad Dorn.
Hello. Hi,
hello.
I didn't realize it was a prompt.
We've got Rhino Hobbies in there. We've got This Is The Way.
Yo.
Bootleg Joe, who's not only right there, he's in the pit too. Let's see. Mando Mike is in there, being all Mando Mike-ish.
Ooh, yep.
Let's see. Who else? Well, and that's all that's spoken up so far. So, hey, everybody, give us a shout. And we'll throw your name up there and say hello.
That's right. Hello. That's right. I do want to see the pit kind of get live here, because we're going to jump right into the Bad Batch. And yes, we're going to, this is a spoiler cast. So if you haven't seen it, you know, I mean, it's something. Someone big came in the fold, and it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. So this is your spoiler warning for the Bad Batch. If you don't want to do it, we have a Facebook user there. So it's one of three people. Come on. I think in Matthew Carlisle.
Let me check. I'll double check while you guys start the chat.
Okay. You're going Scott Winters, Matthew Carlisle.
Let's see. Who have we got? Who have we got? Place your bets. It's Matthew Carlisle.
All right. Oh, you're the winner.
Circle
the loser.
Welcome, Matthew. Welcome.
It owes me $5 now.
Yeah. All right, guys. So, again, what did we get for Bad Batch? This is cool, because the last couple times we've been talking Bad Batch, it was kind of like, this did this and this. That was cool. It was cool.
It's been a great season. I've loved this season. It's cool. Love this whole season.
But I haven't been excited to talk about this. Like, gotcha.
Just get into a topic. Like, hey, here it is.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's this cameo did so much by doing so little, right? I mean, did we get confirmation that Omega is force sensitive? No. Did we get a reason why Asajj Ventress is alive? Maybe. We'll have to break it down. There was a little blurb that she said at the end, made us kind of go like, what?
No, I just made it. I get what that was. That was nice. So I'm into this episode, brother.
Well, I want to break it down because you know, this is what we do, right? So guys,
I'm itching.
First off, I don't care what you guys say. Omega is moving rocks. I've been saying this, and it's not that I don't want to. It's
going to happen. Brother, I thought it was happening today. I thought that was it. I'm not even sure if I texted you or not. It said moving rocks. Here we go.
No, you hadn't watched it.
Right. That's right. I had to pull back. That's right.
Yes. Hey, Matt Logic checking
in. What's up, Matt?
But yeah, so Omega was. Whoa, Scott.
I am done with Scott and his add-ons today.
I don't know what's going on.
Santo 1414 check.
I'm gonna throw up random things.
Nothing. No, it's not.
Do the birds, do a double bird.
Peace signs. I tried that earlier. Peace sign.
What'd you get? Oh, never mind.
Well,
balloons.
that's great. Okay. I'm gonna minimize Scott here in a minute. Matthew Card, no force sensitive confirmation, but it's fun to think about. Question mark, because she, you know, at the very end there when she sent Omega, you know, you don't have it basically. It was for her protection that I got that, because even Hunter was like, you're lying that you're saying, you know, she can't tap into the midichlorians or whatever. And she was basically saying, you know, if this was confirmed, the Empire is going to be after her, you know, like big time. And they said they're already after her. Like, you know, they've confirmed it. So I think it was Asajj lying or not lying. We don't know. It was up in the air, but it was kind of this little bit of a wink, wink thing. Like, no, you don't have it. They called her bluff a little bit. They kind of said it and she didn't deny it.
I need to check that again because I watched it twice. I didn't take that way.
Yeah, it's at the end where she's told Omega, you don't have it, right? There's nothing
in
Omega.
I know he said you're lying to her, but that wasn't what she was lying about.
Yeah, it was. It was 100%. Well, she said it was something because her response was, if you guys knew exactly what the Empire wanted her for, then you would basically, it's almost like you don't have it, give it up.
Yeah.
You know, now, It was this whole thing, like, you know, Asajj was amazing in this one. Could she feel like she was feeling things, you know, like she feel it or what? Like it was kind of confusing. Why go through all this trouble to just dismiss it? Which I thought it was like she had the heartfelt moment of like, I'm gonna save Omega's life and just kind of, guys, you know, move on and move away from here. The fact that Asajj found that island was kind of disturbing, right? If I can find it, the Empire can find it too. Yeah. It's going off the, and you know what? I wasn't fighting it. You know, if Omega's got this, because they're explaining it, right? They're defective. They have these little ways of doing things, the experiments, you know, the clones, because you even said, I never saw any clones have B4 sensitive or have midichlorians. But again, you guys are defective, or you guys are a special batch, right? She said that to them also. So any thoughts on that? Like that could be something at the end of the show. But and I always go back to that whole bittersweet thing, but anyway.
Well, I'm not against it because of Sabine, right? It's not how, and they even said it in here, it's not how many midichlorians you have, it's how you can tap into it. You tap into it. So I'm not against
it. She said it.
I actually have it on right now. I got to see what they said right there.
It's towards the end that when she leaves.
That's where I'm at. Hold on. So where was I at? Sorry.
You said like everybody has, she confirmed it also. Everybody has.
Yeah. So everybody has midichlorians, right? And I don't think that she was showing anything special in any of those tests.
She wasn't
at all. Besides that thing, but she rode the animal there. That's just being smart.
That's just being, you know, intuitive, right?
Yeah. So that doesn't mean she was just getting her out of the way so she could talk.
Right.
You know, it felt like half the time. But I just feel like it's just her taking, you know, the M count. She understands the M count problem, right? But yes. Remember, this comes back to it. I'm trying to rewatch Bad Batch again to find out why they're looking at the M count. It's not the number they're looking for. It's the cloning of the M count they're looking for.
It's the acceptance, right? Like what Scott was saying.
That's what they're looking for. So they don't even know.
Accepting that power.
It's when you clone it, can you clone the same number?
Right.
Or better. Right. That's the key.
To transfer Emperor's consciousness, he's going to have to transfer the midichlorian or everything. Yeah. The abilities to tap into it, and you have to have the body that matches. And
everybody has an M count, right? So every clone is less M count than Django. Yeah. Django may not have a bunch. He could have 10.
Unless you're altered, right? I mean, that's what they kind of made.
They can't screw with M count. That's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Look, so Django has 10 M count out of a billion, but he has 10. The goal is to, when you clone somebody, when you have all these other clones, now when you have Rex and all these guys and Wrecker and all these folks, they have 5. You can't clone M count properly. You can't reach it. Their goal is to make the next clone be 10 M count. You're cloning M count now, making it perfect. Mm-hmm. That's Omega. Omega is the one with 10. And that's why they want her, so they can replicate Omega. So they're like, what do we do right with Omega? What happened here? How do we make this happen again? Then with the Emperor with his 10 billion, whatever midichlorian count, they can clone the Emperor with the same midichlorian count, leaving him as powerful.
I'm wondering why don't they just clone the Emperor? Like,
because they need the process to be able to. They try, but that's why they keep failing. That's where Rey's dad comes from. All that because they can't get the midichlorian count.
The failing of a force sensitive clone.
Because they're never going to get Omega.
Yeah, so engineering a force-sensitive clone. See, that's what I'm thinking.
This brings back Yoda, dude. I'm sorry. This brings back Yoda with Grogu. I mean, that could be one of these situations where that's why they're looking for Grogu, because Grogu's the one.
Yeah. All this that they've inevitably has to fail, right, to get to that whole reason why they want Grogu, or is it Grogu just another specimen, right?
I'm thinking it has to fail. It has to fail, so they're looking for somebody else with not only the a high M count, but also the ability to accept M, or maybe the ability to accept the M count isn't the thing. Maybe they just need to drain somebody's M count to clone,
replicate it, or something. And that's why those Jedi's were in amber at the Inquisitor fortress. You know,
wouldn't it be funny though if the Emperor his whole thing was he just needs somebody force sensitive enough to, you know, M count high enough to accept his essence, and you've got a little Grogu clone walking around with that's got the Emperor's brain in it. You know, it's how ridiculous would that have been?
It'd have been so awesome.
Yes,
it would have been incredible.
It would basically be the Emperor as Yoda. Yeah, if Yoda would have went bad, that's what we'd end up.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
That's the kind of what if story we need. If they decide to do what ifs, you know, that we
so
need
so off the wall.
What if?
Yeah,
that would be
not just changing the story a little bit to say, what if Leia was the hero here, or what if Poe did this? It's like that kind of madness would be cool.
Well, again, you know, is it's all interesting to me. It's all fun because I love this type of aspect of this of the cloning / Snoke. When we get into the Mando, the everything like that, that makes me excited. I like it. I like where we're going. I like the direction we're going to it. Mega is kicking off this kind of M count clone thing going on, and I love it. Yeah,
I think today was the first time somebody said midichlorian.
Right?
Yeah.
So they all know what the M stands for now. That's the first time that's happened. So
look how excited Omega was. I'm gonna be a force. I'm a Jedi or something like that, right? Yeah. And she kept saying too, goes, "I just want to find out what I am," right? So, and I was like, that was cool
that too. This whole thing and with them. Okay, so with them, this goes into my theory anyway, right? If Omega is force sensitive, the bittersweet ending here is that she goes eventually with Asajj, right? To be trained, but not to be trained, to be saved in the path, to go where all these people are going to go. That's who's good.
Quinlan's to escape already, the Empire.
We know in Kenobi that Quinlan's a part of it. We know that Quinlan and Asajj are a thing, right? So it would make sense that one of the first ones they bring on during this M-count raid of all the bounty hunters.
I'm with you now. Right? I'm with you.
They go in. Now you create this path. We still have it later. It's a perfect setup, and she's one of them. And somehow, again, the actor at Jar Jar, what's the Jedi?
Ahmed Best. Kel something.
Belloc.
I know. It's almost like.
So Ahmed Best takes
Keller and Beck.
Keller and Beck. Thank you. So Keller and Beck takes Grogu to the path. This is all matching up at this point. Yeah. You know what I mean? That's what.
And then if you think about, it's all in the dialogue, right? Like Asajj, because again, in this whole thing, when you get to it, Chris, it's she was saying like if the like she knows that the Empire is hunting people with a high M count, right? Yeah. The Force people who can tap into Force, because we all know this as was happening in the Clone Wars. Cad Bane was a part of it. There was books on it. This whole program, and it makes perfect sense. I like. Okay, so at first when I was watching, I was like, okay, Chris is keep mentioning the path, and I have a, sometimes I have a hard time putting Azaj in Quinlan Vos because it's book, right? It's we don't
yeah.
We do refer to it, but it's not always in our in our.
Yeah, not most people haven't seen it, read it, you know, so nobody's seen it, and it's
I'm actually listening to the audiobook again. I listened a long time, and I finished it.
It's really good.
Yeah. Because of this, because of Asajj, and I went back to do it, and
I should have. That's a great idea. I think I need.
Yeah, you know, and then maybe there's things that we can pick out of it, because just to catch everybody up, you know, in Kenobi, the path. Quinlan Vos' name was on there. He's is obviously maybe a founder of this path, and the path is to smuggle people out of the Empire's way. The people, the ones that are look, you know, the Empire's hunting Jedi, Force users, whatever. The Empire, it's an underground railroad for Force users and basically the alliances. And this kind of puts it great. And that whole thing about Omega being ripped apart from the clones, now she's got to go into hiding, and Asajj takes her into this. Hiding, you know, exile, yeah. You know, so the Empire doesn't find her, because all Asajj did with this episode was tell her, if the Empire knows of you or whatever, if for those people, you don't want, they're relentless. They're not going to stop.
Like, well, they already know she's being hunted already. So it doesn't really matter if she's force sensitive or not. I, that's why I'm like, why at would this they point, lie? Right? Why would Cross say, why would she lie to him? No, they all know that she's special.
Well, it was kind of like a tongue in cheek comment. If you like, when you get to it, it's like a tongue in cheek comment. They told her you lied to her, Omega. And it put Omega on this path of like, okay, I'm not going to pursue this, protecting Omega. If she pursued it and became able to tune into the force, then she would be out in the open and exposed. But if you're hiding it, how it is now, she can live her life. Yes, she's being hunted by the Empire, but Omega, because Omega being Omega, wouldn't be helping the situation, right? Because she tends to do that. She tends to run off and do whatever. So when Hunter said you lied or you're lying, and Asajj is like, am I, or it's for her own good kind of deal? You know, it's that wink, wink thing going on. So, which is, I thought that was cool.
Guys notice though that even though we're not complaining about it at all so far, Omega pulled her nonsense again.
Of course,
where she's like she's like, we're gonna do this, and the guys are like, okay,
yeah. I just kind of take it now, man. Yeah, kind of like they do. Yeah. It's the same thing.
Like, we're all beaten into submission.
Yeah, just go along. Yeah. With it. Just go along with it, guys. There's no
point. This would be good right here. This is what we've been.
Yeah, man.
Like that's what I tell you
last week,
with the animators being hired, with some, you know, the shows, animation shows being ended. This is a perfect opportunity. This is the way of saying. So basically, we're getting Omega, Ventress, and Quinlan, and a new series about the path for Jedis, dodging Vader and Inquisitors. So awesome. Call it the Dark Times, or call it the Path. Call it. Yeah. That would be. I would watch it. I mean.
Ahmed Best was doing work with Lucasfilm lately. We thought it was for a game or something else.
And it was
It was mocap. All right. So what if it's mocap for that?
Let's
Or he's voice work for Keller and Beck.
Yes.
There we go.
That too. Yeah.
So should we do a because we keep bringing up Quinlan Vos, but I'm not sure how many people actually know who Quinlan Vos is. We should do
a retrospective on. Should. And if you want to do, if you guys have something over on the top of your head right now, can do a brief one.
Well, what's funny is he was mentioned in the prequels. Real quick, it was in episode 3, right?
Yes.
When they said Master Vos was out, he was telling Kenobi. It was right before they went.
On Boss Pity. I think he's on
the so they gave him a nod in there because he was already in Legends.
His character debuted in the comics. So his character debuted between the Phantom Menace and Attack of the Clones in the Star Wars, just a basic Star Wars comic, as kind of like not a rogue Jedi, but a Jedi who didn't mind breaking the rules. And I believe he had like
rough around the edges
memory.
Yeah.
He had lost his memory, and he was trying to regain his memory throughout his adventures. And yeah, he did a lot of questionable stuff, but ultimately it was a really cool Jedi. And they did make he did debut in the Clone Wars also. And yes. I'm trying to see if I
a big arc in the Clone Wars. Actually,
he helped with the with Kenobi on a mission there, which is the tie-in, right? Because he and Kenobi are close. If Quinlan has a friend in the Order, they kind of said it in Dark Disciple. If Quinlan has a friend in the Order, it's Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yes,
and Kenobi as begrudgingly likes him. Like it's kind of like, why do I like this guy? He's a problem, but I like him. You know, kind of thing. Yeah, it's neat. I think Quinlan Voss is a cool ass character, man.
I do too.
This is gonna be great. And then the funniest thing is, go ahead.
Okay, yeah, real fast. Yeah, it was kind of the Dark Disciple. The funniest thing is he's known for doing undercover exposing work, but he's got this yellow tattoo across his face.
Yeah. yellow tattoo. What are you gonna do?
Yeah, it's like eventually people are gonna know who you are, no matter what hat you put on. Right. Yeah, go ahead.
It was that the rogue cop ready to break the rules type of vibe, right? And that's why he got pulled into Dark Disciple.
Right.
That's the episode.
That the Hunt for Zero, right.
That's why he got pulled into Dark Disciple, because they were trying, the Jedi had decided they were going to assassinate Dooku. Last time we did this, guys, I was lit and could not understand. I'm kind of buzzing now, it's hard, but we're going to make it through. So they're going to assassinate Dooku. They're going to end this war, okay?
Yeah.
But none of them can assassinate Dooku. So they say, let's call Quinlan. So Quinlan goes and he's like, I can't get in there by myself type of thing. Yeah. So they say, well, you know who's helped us before? And it ends up being Asajj. Because at this point, remember, because Asajj during the Clone Wars, the Palpatine had gotten tired of her getting stronger and stronger and told Dooku to kill her.
Yeah.
Right? He goes to kill her, but he kills the Night Sisters.
Yes.
Right? And that throws her off. So she turns her back on the Sith and everything. And she helps Ahsoka in the sixth season. Right, or fifth season, whatever it was.
Yep.
Helps Ahsoka when she quits. So so at this point they're now planning together to take out Dooku. Okay. And during this time, she's teaching Quinlan the dark side.
Yeah.
You know, and Quinlan's not Yoda, man. He can't go back and forth. So he succumbs for a while. Long story short, she pulls him back. Dooku goes to kill Quinlan, and she sacrifices herself in front of the Force Lightning. Takes the hit and dies, saving herself for Quinlan. Quinlan takes her and drops her ass in the waters on Dathomir, man. It's not like she was kind of dead. This chick was dead, man. So he takes her and drops her in the lake. And that's the last we've seen of her, right? So then when you get to the show, it's like, what the hell is she doing? And we talked about during the trailer, right? And they've already said, Dark Disciple is canon. We're going to make it work. She mentions the piece about, okay, she's almost died before. Right? Where else did she almost die? She's almost died a couple times. So it's like, how many? But she's all, I have more lives.
Yeah. You know? And she looks like a cat. That's what I'm just saying. Yeah. She looks like a cat. She has.
Asajj is one of the coolest damn characters, man. And what,
I agree.
I texted you guys today, right? It's like, look, I know I give a lot of crap about how overly diverse I think things are getting, right?
Yeah.
But these are the characters. Ahsoka. No, I don't give a damn, man. She can kick anybody's ass any day, right? She's been in the shows. She's had all this canon. She's earned it. I've seen her training, man.
Great character.
I don't say a thing, man. She can take anybody out. She can take Vader. If she took Vader that day, I wouldn't have said a word, right? I'm cool with it. I would have, but
a little word.
It's still Ahsoka, though. My thing is always Ahsoka's the best Jedi. Period.
Yeah.
Asajj is one of the best characters. Probably.
I agree.
I can't think of a different dark side character I like more than Asajj.
I like her story. I like her character. I like her demeanor. Her I like look. Her fighting. Her look is fantastic.
Her banter with Obi-Wan, dude.
Even some of the discussions that she had in this episode where she was talking about being pawns. You know, we were all pawns of the war, just on different sides. And I was telling Julie that it's funny because she is like the mirror image of Darth Maul, right? Darth Maul realized all this. Darth Maul knew what was happening. Darth Maul knew that they were all pawns, but he stayed to the dark where she went towards the light.
Both felt betrayed at the end and tried to destroy the Emperor on their own terms too.
And both knew that they were pawns in this game, right? So it's her character development throughout the original version of the Clone Wars to the normal version of the Clone Wars to the Dark Disciple book. And now into this, it's fascinating. It's absolutely fantastic. It is fascinating.
Yeah.
The first time when she faced off with Anakin in the original micro series and it rained on their lightsabers, dude, I lost my mind.
That's like, the first time that she quote unquote died or fell off the cliff. She fell off the cliff. Yeah. No death, right?
But yeah, you can't kill Asajj, apparently. And I'm not going to have a problem with her coming back because she's kind of a villain. and you're allowed to come back. And she's and okay, I see that she was raised by dark magic.
Rick Jones checking in. So, yeah,
Rick Jones. Yeah, I mean, that's probably what it's going to be. But now we need the answer on how, because the Night Sisters are dead on death.
Maybe we won't get it from Asajj, but with Acolyte,
the next
showing show. This kind of resurrection happens, and then we can put that. Oh, that's how it happened. Too. If you show it in Ahsoka with the Night Sisters, or those witches in Acolyte of this type of Night Sister resurrection or whatever it is, you can show it in another show, and then kind of like,
yeah,
you know.
Well, they might even show it in the next show that Asajj is obviously going to be in. They're setting her up for a show.
Dude. I you think don't bring so.
Asajj, it sure seems like it.
Not do that. There's a lot of setup in real world and the show because again. I don't think this is the last of we're seeing of Asajj in the Bad Batch. I think she's going to come around. And of course, there's that real world stuff about the voice actor having a lot more. There's a lot more coming. So yeah, a new show. Oh, I'm in for it. Yeah. I think you're 100% right. If I had to like handpick characters that are just like epic, these are such good character development, character arcs, you know, story arcs, the way that the demeanor, everything else, Asajj Ventress is forefront. Absolute forefront. You know what I mean? Like I might even like her more than Darth Maul. You know what I mean?
Just by because, far.
Yeah.
By far. Yeah.
She's
won
more fights.
Yeah.
See, and I don't have a problem with that. Isn't that weird? Zero. And the women are dominant on Dathomir.
Yeah.
Asajj kicking Darth Maul's ass. No problem. Yeah. No questions asked.
Well, we've got Felipe checking in. What's of course, up, Rick Felipe? Jones is checking in, and Rhino Hobbies is saying, is there a yellow blade significant to Asajj's?
Well, she doesn't have her reds because of what happened in the Clone Wars, right? Because Barriss Offee jacked them.
Yeah.
So she wouldn't have those. Yellow's a Temple Guard saber. I haven't really looked into it. I don't remember. I don't remember the story behind her saber. I'm sure they've given it.
What color were her sabers in Dark Disciple?
Yellow on the cover.
Were they yellow? Okay. I don't think they described what happened.
Yeah,
I
so can't think of it. We'll have to. Yeah, that's something. I guess I'm revisiting Dark Disciple, so I'm hoping. Excuse me, we get some more. Maybe it's some little.
He'll tell you next week.
Yeah,
I don't know if we're gonna see her again this season.
Ooh,
I mean,
I think the end. Last episode.
I hope. I think you're right.
We're hoping that she comes and takes Omega in the path. That would be a fantastic, and then leaving the Clone Wars separated, and that's the bittersweet kind of.
But hang on, you just said you're hoping that happens, right? So, are you saying that in this new series, you're hoping for more Omega?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, Omega in season three Omega is done a 180, and I've said this
amazing,
before,
isn't it? It's like Ahsoka.
Ahsoka, to me, when she was first introduced, I couldn't stand it. I didn't like the character. I didn't like it. But as the Clone Wars progressed and they did those time jumps, and especially in Rebels, I was like, oh my God, Ahsoka's like one of the best characters ever. Not saying that's going to happen with Omega, even if she starts moving rocks. I'm saying that, yes, she has her moments of like, oh my God, here we go. But you would figure they're becoming more less frequent, right? It's she's learning a little bit more. Now it's the big question of, I want to know who I am. And now the bigger picture's coming. The Empire is evil. I can't just run off. But, you know. So season three Omega. Yeah, I like season three Omega versus season one Omega.
Me too. Season one Omega. I'm ready. If she gets better every year, I'm fine.
Yeah. With Rick Jones right here, she cleaned the red out and the crystal turned yellow. No, whenever you cleanse a red bled crystal, it becomes white.
Right.
And that's why Ahsoka's is white.
I believe there is some sort of lore behind that too, where the Temple Guards, that was a planetary thing. It was a planet that was destroyed, that they would get the yellow crystals and then they had to go to Ilum and they were only blue and purple and green red available. Something like that. But it was a planet of stuff that the resources were drained, and that's where they got the yellow crystals. But and that's where like the Temple Guards were so ancient about it, you know?
Yeah. And even then they act like
you think maybe that they're not all, it's not all, like a white, like it's, let's just say it was a healed crystal, but it's not all the way healed because she.
That could be too. I think I heard something.
You can like still that. Sense some kind of darkness in her.
Yeah.
So
I want to say I did hear something like that where like it wasn't all the way purified.
Something. Those aren't her sabers, is the thing, right? I don't believe she ever got her hilts back. So, unless Anakin gave it to her.
the hilt is her hilt. So either she could have rebuilt it exactly. How many times did Anakin rebuild that same saber? True, right. True. So,
yeah. Matthew. Dark Disciples is good, except for Mace. If you're, I'll do the audio, and to me, Mace Windu cracks me up. The voice on the,
it's,
the
it's
voice
Mark choice. Thompson is Mark Thompson doing the whole
book. I know, but
his Asajj is great.
A lot of stuff is great, but why is the voice choice for Mace Windu like a southern plantation owner? like I do declare, you know what I mean? Like,
oh my God. Dude, he has a rough time, man.
I'm just saying, I'm going, come on, Mark Thompson. Why is that character choice like that?
It's
Dark
tough.
Disciple. Dark Disciple furthered my dislike of Mace Windu. It just drove it home that Mace Windu is a dick. That's all there is to it. That character is awful.
Go back and listen to the Mace Windu voice. I'm just like, come on, he doesn't sound like that. Like, not even close.
I'm gonna have to.
It's so bad. I get cringe in that, but it's a bad.
I do declare her midichlorian count is high.
Yeah, I was like, I go, wait a second, he sounds like Colonel Sanders instead of Mace Windu. It really does. My
God. You know, I was just thinking when Quinlan, sorry, just jump off your Colonel Sanders tangent
there. Yeah, no problem.
When Quinlan meets Omega and she has pieces of other things, like from the crew that's all dead, and Quinlan has that power where he touches things and can see things.
Yeah.
And he goes through, he'll learn Omega really fast. Like, we're going to have some kind of like,
sure.
I'm just talking through my head.
No, you're 100% right.
I'm trying to write the episodes out. There's this new show that doesn't exist. I'm trying to see how it's going to work.
If a show exists with those characters, we'd still mark a win for us.
The last scene is going to be the last scene of this season is going to be Asajj walking away with Omega, with them, with Quinlan on a ship ready to take them on.
Yeah.
That's what it's going to end. There you go. That's how I'd write the show. Sorry.
So I'm all over the place today. It's cool. Asajj through Night Sister magic and whatever.
Yeah, it's gonna have to be. I just want to see it because
you think the first thing she did was seek out Quinlan.
She sacrificed herself for him.
Yeah,
he took her to where she wanted to be. They were in love. So
yeah,
but
at the same time, she's also very independent. I don't know if she would go right back to him like that.
Oh, I think it'd be to check on him, man, after Order 66. She would have went right back to make sure he was okay. Well, she understands the danger right now. And she needed somebody.
Fennec Shand knows how to get a hold of her. And if that name is floating around I'm sure the name has to come back. I would love a surprise half episode or whatever it is, two, three in the Bad Batch now of a Quinlan Vos introduction into the Bad Batch. As Asajj's role in this, like this thing, I think it should be a bigger thing, right? I don't think it should be this whole thing. I come in to set up future. I want it to be a bigger role now. It'd be great because that would really set the stage for a lot of things and questions like we were just asking, you know?
And hopefully it is. Hopefully it is. And hopefully we can get, like I said, Quinlan in there. That'd be a great transition. If you give him a couple episodes, or even if we have her from here on out, would be ridiculous.
Oh, right? Yeah. Yeah.
That would be cool to throw a Jedi in the mix or a Force user in the mix.
So do you think Omega is going to pursue it no matter, even if she was told like, look, you don't have anything, she's going to do it. Something's going to happen where she's going to move something on accident. And like, I do have it.
I'm taking you for your word on the part and understanding. I just completely missed it. Right.
I'll check if I'm wrong next week.
You don't have to, man. I'll just check it.
It was very up in the air still. It was. I remember that.
I think she'll let it go. And if that's the case, right. The writers did that on purpose. So Omega wouldn't be thinking about it over and over.
That's
a couple episodes deeper and then bring it back up again. And that's possible. So she'll let it go on her. She won't try to pursue it on her own until Asajj comes back and kind of brings her back in.
Do you think though that she has some kind of like a natural reflex, a natural reflex of the Force? Because remember how a couple of episodes before she was like meditating and she's even showing a
Crosshair
how to meditate. So it's like when somebody is one with the Force, what do? They sit there and they meditate to become. So it's like she's probably trying to become one with the Force. She don't even know it.
Exactly. Yeah. She's doing things.
Marco's been talking about her throwing rocks all damn season.
I know.
You know.
Yes, Joey. That's the thing. She might even already be tapped into it, not knowing, and this whole Asajj thing coming in and putting a label on it, right? This is what's been happening.
And this I know explains we her skills, why she's so quick to mimic everybody because she's like an empath, right?
And her specialty or her talent could be completely different. It doesn't really necessarily
she's
have
not
to be
being
like Jedi.
Annoying. She's using the Jedi mind trick on the guys.
I want that toy, and I want it now.
I'm going to do this mission. We're going to do this mission, guys. Let's go.
Because it's the right thing to do. It's like, do you not know what's going on outside? You know what I mean? Like, people are dying, and you don't know what's going on, but it's the right thing to do.
Has anybody looked at her hands when she's telling them? We got to go save them.
We go back, and it's a pinpoint. She's like, the whole
time. For three seasons, she's on the side of her hand going like this.
Yeah.
Like Kylo did with the lightsaber.
it's that Obi-Wan twitch on the episode one, right? Like for Boss Nass, it's that. That twitch of whatever she's been doing it the whole time, and it's been there this whole time, right under our noses. That's funny. This is the way of saying, would be cool if this new show tells all the stories leading up to Kanan Jarrus and how the Rebels show starts, how they got together and stuff.
That's in New Dawn, the book, a little bit.
Yep,
him, he and Hera.
But I don't hate that idea. I don't hate that idea at all. Yeah.
Except I think, if they throw money at people, they'll do it. But I think Freddie Prinze Jr. is done playing.
Yeah, I would say, if that was a spinoff show, like a prequel to the Rebels, that I don't know how much more, besides a book, like I said, the books might tie in some loose or some beginnings of whatnot. Because like the beginnings of all the Rebel stuff and Alliance's stuff, we're covering that in Andor in a way. We're covering that Rebels covers that a lot too. That whole,
in fact, one of these seasons of Andor, I bet you crosses paths with them.
If that will get you to lighten up a little bit, then I'm all for it.
Like, I'll lighten up 1,000% if I get less Mon Mothma and a little Kanan Jarrus. Yeah.
Well, I think you're going to get a lot of, I would, and I wouldn't blame you. I think we're going to get a lot more Mon Mothma and no Kanan Jarrus.
Then I'm not in. I'm not going to lighten up on
Andor. Yeah, exactly. Like I said, if that would get Chris to lighten up on Andor a little bit, I'm all for it. You know.
You know what? Here's the deal. Floney needs to write Mon Mothma's role.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. I can handle it.
Well, that's funny. Yeah. Well, Rhino Hobbies is saying she also makes all her shots when she shoots too. Yeah. Omega has this like intuitive ability to, like I said, to mimic. You know. Strengths of Wrecker and sharp shooting as Crosshair and intuition with Hunter, and
that would be like her clone trait though, wouldn't it? Because all the clones have that.
Yeah,
that's what we thought until the meditation we talked about, right? Because now she's mimicking Gunji, and it's like, whoa, that's what's going on here. Wow. she it's really really strange. So if she goes around Asajj for a minute, it starts gaining these skills. A minute.
She's Ahsoka next.
Dude.
All of a sudden, she's a Wing Chun expert.
Yeah, exactly.
All of a sudden, there's a video game about Omega the Jedi,
and that will get made. It won't get canceled. You know what I mean? All right, Matthew, Carla, if it's still Matthew, I've seen it like three episodes of Andor. Well, you should get past. You should get through it. It's very good.
Get
it's
through epic. It. Okay, look, it's epic's the wrong word. There's no lightsabers in it.
It's like eating broccoli.
It's like good for you. Andor is great. Look, Andor is great for you, dude, but it's not going to make me smile. Right? That's all it is. Like, it's cool, man. That's cool to the show. Groovy.
Yeah. It's good for you, but it just needs a little butter on it.
Yeah. some salt and pepper, Parmesan cheese. Yeah. They're really dressing it up. Yeah. Hey, welcome to the show, Ernie.
Hey, Ernie. All right. With that, take it away.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Thank you for the
show.
Watching tonight. Yeah, thank you very much. I've been here. Sorry you guys were late.
Congrats on the 500.
Yeah, thank you. No.
Hey, watch this.
I was like this,
and then doesn't do it anymore. Oh,
look at it.
I don't have a Mac.
I do.
Is that a Mac thing?
Yes.
Oh, maybe.
I do. A Mac.
It's an Apple thing. Yeah. Do a heart. Do a thumbs up.
I do a heart. Do,
yeah. And all the love.
Look, okay.
It's just not black, but it comes up red. So it's there.
But yeah, yeah, Erdy, we are talking about, have you got a chance to see the Bad Batch episode that dropped today?
No.
Oh, you have?
So I knew I was going to be late. Okay, I couldn't today. Yeah. Did you? I'm here for the Ghostbusters talk, though.
Oh, we'll be doing that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Beyond the pit there.
No, but I don't know. As you saw towards the end, I've been resetting my internet and doing everything else right now because it went totally glitchy. So,
well, that's because you start talking like conspiracy.
It is. I know. And then all of a sudden now I'm fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Homeland Security is in the phone. That's in the living room right now.
It is. I know. Well, I'm like on a list with them. And I'm like, dude, I'm just a Star Wars nerd. Like, send me sabers and Star Wars stuff and I'll shut up. We're fine.
Well, if we say anything about the Bad Batch from now to the, it's spoiler. I mean,
it's fine. I saw it. Star Wars itself spoiled itself.
Yeah. It's all over the place.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, like Star Wars, bro, I can't watch at midnight like we do at all the other ones. Give me a chance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's more like it's not really a spoiler of it because we all knew this moment was coming.
The trailer.
It's the Omega stuff. It's like, you know, kind of like cool things that can propel future Star Wars, and I think we're all in for it. You know,
I had a question for you guys.
Yeah, go for it.
Because I didn't watch it, but of course there's spoilers everywhere, and there was a consistency of comments going around today of saying, "Okay, she's back, but you're not going to explain how."
Oh, it's the first day. It's the first day. Yeah. She made a comment that she has more lives. You know.
Yeah.
They'll explain it, dude. What we just went through right now was the fact that
I couldn't wait to ask you guys because maybe they didn't get solved.
We're at right now is we think this whole thing is going to end with eventually her and Omega. I that's where we're at, going to the path. That's what we starting the path from Kenobi. That's where we think this is going to move into and maybe going to another show.
Hey, I had a question today that I said I was going to pass on to you guys. When you say that this is going to end with them,
yeah.
Somebody asked me today, so do you think that Force 99 is just all going to get killed off?
Yeah.
Well, I think Chris just mentioned something like that, and I was about to get a little weepy there, but at the same time...
Right, I did too when that question
was. Am I really that emotionally invested into them? Like, if that does happen...
Yeah.
I'm not invested in Hunter.
No.
Oddly enough.
He's the one I like the least.
Yeah. I think at this point, Wrecker, I'd be sad, but expecting it. Crosshair, for some reason right now, is probably the one. And if anybody goes with them, I think it'll be Crosshair.
So if I had a choice of like an ending for the Bad Batch, right? And we're going to get it pretty soon. I would have it to where, because the way we talked about it, it just means a lot going forward, and especially in our headcanon. Yeah. I would have Omega go off with Asajj and Quinlan in that path and being exiled as I'm running away from the Empire and I cannot be seen on the surface anymore. But for that to happen, I think this, you know, it would be this whole sacrifice of the clone 99 making that happen, you know, so like they end their whole star arcs and propelling Omega. And it is a very, very bittersweet moment. Omega gets to live and move on and survive and join other Force users that are in hiding, but it's a sacrifice, and it was their duty to bring Omega to that point.
And they might not even all be dead, dude. And they might not.
Right.
We're gonna lose somebody else. The other ones might be waving as she leaves because it's time to separate. Yeah, to go with Rex. You know,
I think. Exactly. And
unless Rex is part of the path.
Yes. Well, and also like put them in the Alliance, right? Put them in the Rebellion, as much as they can. So. Ooh. I think you probably need an explanation point at the end of this. You know what I mean? Otherwise, we're on repeat. Or otherwise, you're on repeat.
To the very first point of that, Erdy, if anybody's bitching about them not explaining her, they have no patience, man. No patience at all. It was a great episode. Great episode. Great setup for her. You can tell she's coming back for more. You can tell that they're really coming back because of what the actress said, right? I mean, there's a bunch of Asajj stuff coming.
Yes.
We're not done with Asajj. So... It's
typical internet impatience. Everybody, we're all in this mode where we want, you know, we live in 30-second short or minute long short world, and everybody wants their pudding immediately, right?
Yeah,
you know, we just need to slow down, take a breath, and enjoy.
100%.
Eat your meat. 100%.
Yeah,
we're gonna get the answers.
You can't have your pudding if you don't eat your meat.
Yeah, I they
eat your meat. Sorry. Yeah. Wow, Chris. You got it. Yeah, I was like, wow, we're really
old. That's really, man.
Yeah, that's we're laying down the law here.
That's how you get that pudding.
Yeah, well, I didn't know where we were going. I was like, damn, what kind of episode? I'm going to watch the episode immediately after this. Yeah.
I mean, I think we're all infatuated with Azaz Ventress anyway. Even in like Dark Disciple, Qui-Gon warned Quinlan Vos about she's stunning looking, kind of like, you know, she's flirty, but she uses it as power.
She's strong as hell.
Yeah, so like Asajj,
dude, when she first appeared on the original Clone Wars, I was already in love.
Oh,
I
yeah.
had her sabers. I had the Unleash figure right away.
Yeah. I think she's the most
long time to
one
get
of the most
figure.
Interesting villains we have. Yeah.
I love. Okay, I'm gonna spoil this for you, Ernie. Sorry, but when they stand off real fast, they stand off for a second. Asajj and the three clones, right? And she's like, "Are we really gonna do this?"
Yeah,
and she just handles them
with ease. With ease, like
Wreckard is throwing him around, no problem. It just, yeah. I love it.
Hey, real quick, her shoulder pauldron.
I was about to say
her shoulder pauldron. That looked familiar, but I couldn't quite place it right off the top.
I was going to ask you guys about that, like that whole thing. Okay, is that significant? Is that something that is an Easter egg of sorts, or something that we will get her when she does come back, her resurrection of some sort, where it is a help of somebody else, and that's that was going to ask you about her get up like that, because she had that one pauldron with a symbol,
the blue
on it.
Pauldron with like a snake on it.
Yeah.
A chimera? Was it a chimera? Because that would have been
no.
Awesome. No.
It was a snake. I don't know. It looked familiar though, and I don't know if it's just because I saw glimpses of it.
She's
in
a Death Eater.
There we go. I wouldn't put it.
Makes sense.
Yeah, Matthew. I got her Unleashed figures moment. Her Unleashed figure is probably one of the best figures there is, even though it's like low
she's
profile.
She's got a front row spot. I don't collect any. You know,
yeah, I have all the Unleashed figures, and
of the best Black Series figures too.
Yep.
I mean, just an awesome figure. And seeing this version of her, I'm like, okay, bring on the toy. I want that toy now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. I'm
to a Funko Pop.
Yeah, you're gonna get a Funko Pop before we get, you know. But
oh yeah,
I don't know. You know, Hasbro might throw that in there as the only Bad Batch Season 3 figure we get is Asajj's new look kind of stuff.
I would think you get Omega's new look too.
Well, I think so. I think we're going to get Omega, and I think we'll get them all eventually.
I think
we'll
get Hemlock.
Because, you know, I can't wait to get back into the darker tone of this. Like, this was Omega, and on the last two episodes, where I can't wait for the next five episodes.
Back
we have
to the horror.
A double one. Yeah, let's go, man. Let's get into some stuff, man.
Like, I swear, their little island looks just like Mount Tannis.
It does, right? They're
going to fly around the other side one day and see the water and realize that size Mount. What the hell?
We've been here the whole time.
Gilligan's Island.
Hiding in plain sight. Yeah.
Right there. We were staring a wall.
That's Clone Force 99 versus the Harlem Globetrotters. What are you doing here? Yeah.
This is showing up on
the other side.
Yeah, the Co-Triders. This is the way saying, wasn't it a snake? They said in the Dark Disciple when she taught Quinlan how to use the Force to tame animals.
Yeah. Was that where it was in there? What they call it? Beast Control in the other book, in the Dooku book with her.
Mm-hmm. Right? Which is another great book.
Or Animal Kinship, because they didn't like Beast Control.
She mentioned something like that too. Ventress was saying stuff about
there you go.
Jedis are in tune with nature more than anything.
That's how she summoned that big old monster.
Yeah.
Ernie. There's a big monster in this one.
Of course. As there is.
As there is always a monster in Big Batch.
Yeah.
Bad Batch.
So yeah, I think that symbol is going to come back to play. Yeah. And if we get it, as a ship flies in with that symbol on it, we're like, yeah.
It's Asajj's. I'm going to end up with that damn snake now. Damn it.
You sure are.
Her ship was cool too. I like the asymmetrical shape of the ship. It was really kind of cool, but it also kind of looked like Cad Bane's ship in a way. The fuselage did. It was a unique design.
Yeah,
yeah.
I have. That's the same ship, right? It was the same one as her. Well, it wasn't a different ship, right? From the Clone Wars or the.
I thought it was a different ship. I've never seen that.
It didn't look familiar. It didn't look familiar to me
because her original ship had like a sail and a.
Yeah, it wasn't that one.
Yeah, yeah.
It was, It looked like a B-wing, actually, like the cockpit of a B-wing sitting there. Like, yeah.
Yeah, you take Cad Bane's cockpit and you stick it on a B-wing. That's kind of what it looked like. Yeah. It was neat. It's cool looking.
Well, we'll have to check it out. We'll have to see what happens. I'm excited. You know, it's cool. It's this. I'm having fun with this season of Bad Batch. Can't wait for more. So
this one matters to the overall universe.
That's
what I really like, is when I can see things that are going to link. The other one was more of the other two seasons were more backlash of the prequels. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It is something,
especially the first season. Yeah.
Yeah. It didn't drive anything forward. You were just dealing with the aftermath. Now we're driving the story forward, and that's awesome. And feeling
him right. That's a good way to put it. I didn't think about it like that, but you're right. The first season was the backlash. It's like the second season was them finding their footing in the new universe, and the third season is moving it forward.
Well, speaking of backlash, I'll use that to project one kind of final thing that we'll go through here is the Acolyte is getting some backlash, like a major backlash. The trailer, what? Right? The trailer. I know. Go figure. It's getting backlash. So there was this. This is actually a good time, because at first it did start as a rumor. So we can do this.
Truth or Pollo.
Nice. Yay! We get to use our fancy graphics. So the rumor was that the Acolyte trailer got downvoted X amount on more, way more to
like five times the amount. Like we're talking millions.
Not so millions,
hundreds of thousands.
Yeah, we looked into it. We downloaded the Chrome browser to get the dislikes, and yeah, it's 100% true. The out of the I got numbers here. Out of the 9.2 million views, it was downvoted 574,000 times versus 182,000 likes. Okay,
it's like four times as.
Well, yeah, so it's not. I mean, okay, that's a chunk of change, and it doesn't look good as far as like the initial response. Now that could be due to the comments made from Leslie Headley. You know, that could be due to a lot of things.
Quick question.
I don't think the trailer deserves it, but yeah.
Caveat, just to make sure, you're talking the official StarWars.com YouTube page release trailer.
The official, right? Nobody not else.
IGN or anything.
Correct. Like I looked it up. So as of 3 p.m. today, I looked it up. I downloaded the Chrome browser. It was 9.2 million views, and I had those dislikes to likes numbers as of today. So, and it was official. It wasn't like anybody else's channel or whatever.
Okay.
Yeah, so like I said, I don't know if the trailer itself deserved it, but the feelings of the show, I guess, is starting to reflect the public outcry, if you know, whatever it is. And we were having kind of like this discussion too, you know, with in our private chats, like, you know, is it going to be a thing where even if the show comes out and it is really good and the story is good, we're talking about it, is it still going to be where those arms folded guys going to go in there and not view it because they've already made up their minds? Is those downvotes already a people that made up their minds? You know what I mean?
Or like, this is the way of saying, is it all just robots, bot dislikes and, you know?
Yeah, sure.
Here's my take on that.
Yeah.
Every time something gets bad reviews or bad thoughts or anything, the immediate response is it's a bot.
Right.
They have good bots too. Bots aren't just evil, right? Yeah. They can go the other way too. So to me, that's always like, I never lose. Somebody cheated. That's how I feel on that. You know what I mean? I say it all the time too. I get it. Bots exist.
But yeah.
It can work good too. And I just don't. If something is good, the other side's going to say it's cheating. Either
way.
But what I do go on this thing is the absolute truth is the universe, the Star Wars universe, the world is not as diverse as they want it to be.
I understand that. But would anybody here, these five guys, would they download that trailer?
No, not at all.
Mm-mm. So all the doom and gloom and fire and brimstone of the trailer going out there, right? There is a realistic look to this, okay? And I did some number crunching. I had to put out the whole arithmetic thing coming out. So out of 9.2 million views, only 756,000 people voted. Nice. Okay. So and out of though that, so that's only 8% of people who viewed it actually took the time and disliked and liked. Out of that 756,000, again, 574,000 hit the downvote, which is only 6% of the people who voted down, and 1.9, almost 2% voted up. There is a there is a disproportionate ratio there. There is more. So if you, again, if you can take that sentiment and be like, okay, here's what people are doing, it is a negative review, no matter how you look at it. But it's a very small number who voiced an opinion.
Very right.
Too.
And, and the squeaky wheels usually are the negative ones.
Like, I didn't bother to up and download vote it, but I, you know,
And that's what I was about to say also is you are more likely to get a negative comment than a positive comment from anybody. Look at Yelp. Look at anything. If you have a, if you go to Target and you have a negative experience, you damn well know that you're going to talk to the manager, but you're going to go full Karen and talk to the manager. Where you have a
taking
positive
your stuff and walking out. Yeah.
You have a positive experience. You're going to, you know, thank that person. You're going to move on. You're not going to stop and talk to the manager and tell the manager this person was great, which we all should. I mean, I used to work retail. I know what it's like out there. You know, you should tell people whenever you should tell managers when people do good. Right.
Right. Right.
But well, that's all true. The reality of what's going on here. That's not what's happening.
The reality of life, though, is that people are complaining. I mean, people are giving it downvotes and it's, you know.
But the other, but the point is, this one's different, though. This one's like a lot different than the other ones. Ahsoka's not like that. Kenobi's not like that.
No, so they all had a very high number of
likes. Yeah, people are more people are negative than they speak. Totally, but it wasn't like this kind of half a million. There are some bots in there. That's you'd have to be crazy not to. But there's some bots in that 170,000 too.
There's also people who just downvote and move on, don't even watch the content too. It just because it's Star Wars and it's Disney Star Wars.
Oh, for sure,
But
again, there's a comment in here. Go to Ahsoka. If they do that, Ahsoka would have more than 28,000 downvotes.
Yeah,
and it's months old.
Yeah, you know what I mean? It's very popular. And I think
but
that
the
was
people that wouldn't look at it would still do. That's my point. It's not always that. The people that would just hate things just hate it.
Well, you know, you know the stigmata already attached to a accolade. Everybody knows it.
Like, okay. I know, and I'm
and that's
that
a thing. And that's a very, very real thing. Again, what my I guess the statement is like this is an entertainment. This is a show, and this is something we'd like to talk about it.
Yeah.
And so I would love for somebody to watch it and then make that decision and respect that decision. I don't care if you didn't like it as you watched it, but that, like I said, that trailer showed us nothing to click a download or downvote on.
I disagree.
That big.
I do disagree because I think people are just getting tired of it, man. I'll be the squeaky wheel on this side. Okay.
Sure,
and I'm not
sure.
Speaking for the show. Joey knows what I'm going to say. And I think Joey's here too. Right. When you go in there, man, and you're gonna see it in the toys with these Hasbro toys that just come out, you're gonna have a lot of peg warmers, a lot of peg warmers. The world is not as the fandom is not as diverse as they want to be. When you have a show led completely. Now, I know I've been represented in everything since day one. I know I've been overly represented, but it doesn't have to swing so far that I'm not in it, type of thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they're definitely
going to get downvotes now. Start getting downvotes because you put up with it for a long time. You see it. You know it's coming. It's on a whiteboard twice.
Yeah.
You know,
I want to.
It's overly done now.
So after last, I want
one last thing. Numbers. Sorry. Okay. Love me does it perfect. Asajj, Ahsoka, I love him. He does it perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Keep doing that, man. Keep doing that. Sabine, Hera, we just had Rebels, Ahsoka. Those are very dominant, right? But you can't be everything, and you can't have
Mandalorian did good too.
Mandalorian did it too, man. We had Mando went into that ship with three badass chicks behind him. I shouldn't even say chicks. I'm sorry. I mean that in an endearing way.
Of course.
Right. But he come in here and wrecking shit, loving it. Right. They do it right. Filoni does it right, man.
Yeah. No. And then again, from the get go, it was this is going to be the show that I see, and I'm going to put my personal touches on it. And everybody, no matter who says that, honestly, no matter who says it, even if it was like The Rock saying it, you know, I'm going to put the, you know, rest, you know, this whole thing, we'd be like, no, just write a good Star Wars story. No, I don't care who
just
says
it. Star Wars. That's it. Just do Star Wars. Don't do your.
But that's the whole thing. This could be
It could be. This is all we're looking at to cover. All we're looking at to cover. And I will watch it. Again, I didn't downvote it, but I see it. I'm not saying I'm not going to watch it because of it, but damn. You can't help but see it. You can pretend you're colorblind and gender blind and everything else blind all you want. Yeah. Everybody can.
It's also different if the trailer came out hitting us with the face like, oh, okay, you know, it was exactly what people were thinking. But again, I didn't.
And again, I'm sorry to the pit and everybody else. I know if I'm speaking out of turn for the crew, it's not for the crew. It's speaking just for me. I know we do not share that opinion.
Me personally, I don't see it until it's pointed out. Like I look and I go, that looks awesome. And then I see the comments and I see the internet going crazy. I'm like, okay, I, it's not that I agree. It's just like, okay, I see where they're up in arms about. And again, the creators did no favors by saying, I'm going to put my personal touch first before a Star Wars story. Yep.
That's a problem.
Even
and
Ryan Johnson said that.
Yeah. And that's a problem. And the other problem is we've also only seen, you know, less than 2 minutes of it. Who knows what else we're going to see in the context of this 8-episode series.
Hence the shoving it down your throat comments from people, right? That's all we see. You gave me 2 minutes. You gave me that 2 minutes. That's all I'm saying. That's it. Give me it. I'm cool with it. But the figures you put out too, I promise you, those are peg warmers.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to see them in the stores. I don't think they're going to make it that far. They're going to be on the fan channels, stuff like that. I don't think they're going to be in the massive stuff unless they're mixed in with the second wave that shows us not just people in robes. It's like that. To me, I just looked at a boring set of figures.
Yeah, that's my problem with it. Yeah. I look at the Carrie Ann Moss figure and I'm like, I want that one. That one's cool. Yeah. The rest of them, I'm like,
and then the other three are identical. And that's the problem I have with the High Republic. High Republic, it's all the same. It's like boring visually, even though it's like to me, there's nothing special about them, but like golden white robes. And if you give me 17 Jedis in golden white robes and they're all human, it's boring. Look at the Phantom Menace, like what they did. They had like aliens as Jedis, and it was more interesting.
They did, but I grew up hearing the words Jedi Knight, right? And what do you think of whenever you think of a knight? You don't think about a person walking around in a bathrobe, right?
Right.
And whenever we got the Phantom Menace, Attack of the Clones, the Revenge of the Sith, we got people basically wearing their bathrobes all the time. We got Obi-Wan Kenobi from A New Hope's costume.
They took that literal. Just
a little shorter, right? That's all we got. And for me personally, that was disappointing because it was that. And to expect other than that out of this, you know, I mean, the stage was set 25 years ago.
Like I said, it's a little bit uneventful and it looks uneventful and kind of slow and boring to me. Even the trailer did, but it doesn't, like I said,
I'm excited for the show.
You've seen hand to hand. There's nothing in there that I haven't seen or heard from people in that trailer, but I'm with it. I'm there. Check this out. Here.
Have I heard the plot rumor? Yeah. The plot rumor is we're going to lose like a Jedi a week type of thing. They're going to keep getting knocked out and people are going to be trying to figure it out. Like a CSI ongoing serial killer of Jedi.
I'm hoping that poster stays true. I want that poster to stay true.
Man, like I said, it's the same as Andor. I didn't say Andor is not awesome. It's just missing magic, right? I'm not saying this is not going to be awesome. I can see what is on the surface. That's all.
Sure.
That's all. It's still Star Wars.
I get it. Like I said, and to Scott's point too, you know, the majority didn't vote doesn't mean that they have no say, but a lot of that you can say, well, they didn't take that extra hate time to post a comment or down. They just, did any of us vote or not vote? I didn't thumb up or thumb down. I just watched it.
I didn't. I gave it a thumb up.
I was like, hell yeah. You know, so
I gave it a thumb up and moved on, you know? Yeah. We get down votes in our 1 minute toy reviews and all that with no comments either. So
just like a blanket. Yeah. So
yeah.
Sorry.
The other people that just don't hit it are just what you call. Most people have surveys in their job, right? Like a passive, right? They just don't care one way or the other, and that's all it was. They're just like, it's cool. Let me move on my day. I don't hit like on 100% of the stuff I scroll.
Yeah, same. I look at it and I immediately make a note for this show, or I call you, I talk to you guys, and start talking about it. But
on Facebook, it's not about a kid. I'm really not liking it hardly ever. I really scroll. Damn,
I thumbs up everything I see that I like. I'll give it a thumbs up because somebody put the effort to make that, and I'm gonna give them the props for me. If I enjoy it, I'm gonna give them the props for making it.
I agree.
There's also some people that I'm just like, you know, those particular podcasts out there in the world, damn straight, Ernie's. I'll give them a thumbs down. Sorry, Ernie.
Hey, but he's a follower and helping your algorithm.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Yes. That's what's up.
And as you guys are saying this in my head, I just keep thinking, and you watch the trailer. Thank you. So even like that, when you give me a thumbs down, you gave me my content and watched the show. Right. Thank you.
You're still getting a click.
Correct.
Still
getting a click. Yeah. Yep. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm not taking it as a half of this or 90% that. I'm taking it as a total. Yeah. How many dislikes and how many likes? Sweet.
Yeah,
I got 57,000. Like, yeah, that's what I'm saying. So
I'll close on this and say that that 6% who took the time to downvote out of all the people who viewed it, I think that was just going to happen no matter what, because from day one, that was like that percent was going to make it vocal that they didn't like it or whatever they comes out because of that. Like Chris was saying, you know, maybe they're it's the point where they want to be vocal about it and they want to express it in a lot of ways. So
it could be the whitest malest cast ever, and they'd still give it a downvote just because of who made it.
It's perhaps if that comment was made. Yeah. And it's not even that, man. It doesn't have to be the whitest cast. It doesn't. You know what I mean? You guys know what I mean. I'm not.
Yeah.
I wouldn't associate with you, Chris, if you were like that, what you're talking about. I 100%. Exactly.
You know how I was raised and you know how I am. Yeah. It's not.
Yeah. No, I think what it is, it's more or less because it's out there, it gets to the point where I don't want Star Wars to do it because I understand the need and I understand like the importance of diversity. Man. But at the same time, if it's so toxic, and it's not like, oh, I just want you to revert. No. I'm an all or nothing person. You guys know this about me. Don't do it at all or do it, you know, whatever. But I get tired of the fan base constantly back. It's like we're on this good trajectory with Ahsoka and everything. And all of a sudden, Ahsoka, boom, comes out. And it's like, oh, we're back to square one. And then every show after that is the same. They're going to downvote and they're going to come in with arms folded. Like Skeleton Crew's next, right? I'm sure that's gonna get
some crazy magic to bring it back again, and it will. Yeah, it will all still be around, right?
Gotta take a Book of Fett to bring it back again. I mean,
Book of Fett 2 is gonna save the world.
It is. Would they learn their lesson and actually?
They're gonna find out his angle.
But what if they want to sell the problem with getting these new shows out. It's like you guys said, they need to learn their lesson and have whoever's directing these or producing these to stop before it even comes out, to stop going out in front of the public and saying, this is my...
Stop talking.
Stop the soapbox.
Here's your script, Mr. Director.
I think there's a time and place. Yeah.
George Lucas never got in front of the camera and never made blanket statements. He let the work do the talking, right?
Yeah.
If there was a message in George Lucas's work, it was in the work.
Yes.
It wasn't behind a microphone in front of an audience, as a plot point.
It was about the work, not the plot. Right. It was about the camera, the plot, the you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And trust me, I get it. Like Marco was saying, I get it. I understand that people have been underrepresented throughout Hollywood the entire existence of Hollywood, right? But just make it, just do it, just get up there,
I honestly believe that,
and I'd watch it. People shut the hell up about it.
I believe there's a time and place for everything, and if, like I said, if you want to change the world, you don't do it in a Star Wars movie. You run for office, you know,
run for
political office.
Please.
And change it within the system, not in a Star Wars film. That doesn't mean that doesn't mean that you should be mindful of your audience as far as like who the entertainment is, your children entertainment, right? Of all creeds and colors and everything. And they all should be represented. Absolutely. 100%, 100%. I agree with that. But if you want to make the messaging about it, then I don't think a movie, there are documentaries and stuff, and certain movies that are in your face about it. Like, this is the movie I did, and that's fine as long as it's on the surface. But like hijacking a Star Wars IP with a base already, and I'm not saying like all, you know, like I said, an all white base. I'm saying like a fandom that already is in love with these stories. Messaging is like the last thing that we want to see and hear, I think, over and over and over. We do want to see diverse characters.
Is this or not? The place where we come to get away from that werewolf shit.
Yeah, 100%. I don't want to see
it is
activists in Star Wars. I just don't. And I, like I said, and I am an activist. Like I am in real life. Like I contribute. I do these things. And I am telling you, like I am this type of. Yeah, it's, you know, you know where it does stuff. And I don't think anything what we said was bad. Whatever. I think we're all into the idea of entertainment as being entertainment. You know, and how far can you go when it stops being entertainment? How far is that line going to be? You know,
that's all.
Yeah, again, Rhino Hobby. That's what it is. It's to me, Star Wars is not a platform for social justice. Bob Iger came out and said it, admitted it. Totally agree. All right, now we're going to make movies. by making movies and movie magic. George Lucas said amateurs shouldn't be in this business, and I agree with both of them. Like, come on.
And Disney's letting a lot of amateurs do their shows.
Yeah, and I think that's my more problem before an activist does a Star Wars. It's like, what in your resume can you handle a Star Wars movie? Because Star Wars is at the top. It's the peak of the mountain. What makes you think you can do this?
Yeah, man. You know. We're giving people a shot on this one. What? That's not somebody you get to be a shot on. That's like you bring in the you put the money on it.
Yeah.
Like Favreau, you put the money on it there. And what happened?
Yeah.
Magic.
Gold.
Yep. Take a chance. Boom. Take a chance, right? So here in the Starlight Digest, we're not afraid to get into the hard subjects. We'll talk about it. We're not going to argue about it. Of course.
I don't like it on that soapbox too often, man. I mean,
it's not productive nerdy world. You're right.
But I got to explain why. We sit there and just bash the 500,000, right? We're not giving them a voice. And we do have listeners in that voice. And they have to understand that we get it. I get it.
That worries me. It does worry me. Even though it's only 6%. It worries me that differential ratio is that lopsided.
We don't know what's hidden in the 92 either. We don't know, right? We're just passive. Yeah. I would have put a like. I didn't do it.
Right. I didn't either. And I should go back because I did like it.
More people would have hit a down and didn't. We don't know. We don't know. It's whatever. F a poll. Let's see what the numbers show when they watch it. Let's see.
Yeah, that's seriously. Why I tried to make the latest grab.
Yeah. See that. Seriously though, if you see something you like, give it a thumbs up, man. People put a lot of hard work into that shit and just
like our show.
I know, right? I mean, how many people are
There's
watching?
No reason
Why
not to
like it.
If we get a lot of dislikes in this one, that's it. That's right.
That'd be my bad. I will take full accountability and I will pay for the dislikes. I'm lying. No, negative pesos, brother. Negative pesos. I'm not paying shit.
And I'm still gonna say, how many views was it?
Exactly.
Well done. Thank you.
All right, guys. Yeah. All right, cool. Well, let's get out of here. You know, I just real fast before I kick it over to Ernie, I won't do the whole outro. I just wanted to plug our latest toy show that are on Monday that we dropped episode 2 2 days ago. Go check that out because we get into some speculation on HasLab, some very cool talk. We had Tommy from 1313 podcast coming and joining us, and he probably will be a reoccurring guest on that because the dude knows his Star Wars toys and he's a major collector. So I'm excited to have that show progress and see what is out there.
And we don't hold back on the constructive criticism.
Oh no, big time.
If you think that we're just Hasbro shills, that's not what it is.
No, absolutely. Right? Not at all. Far from it. But we do actually say what we like too. Like if we like it, we like it. And everything. So April 1st, and it's not a joke, when we post a Beyond the Pit on our show, that is going to be a extended talk. So if you guys see a notification, because I hope you hit that bell notification, if you see that pops up and we've dropped the thing called Beyond the Pit, it's like, what can that be? Well, there's Star Wars and then there's everything else. And that's our show that we get to just kind of digest everything else that we have done as a group and what's out there in the open. I know that we will be talking some Ghostbusters on that first show.
And usually it's a little more free form, right?
It's not very free form.
We don't come in with a topic. We just all happen to watch Ghostbusters, most of us together. Right?
That's it.
It was just, and so that's going to be a topic. But usually we just go into conversation after this and whatever flows. First of all, we went through like 10 topics.
Yeah, cameras on, mics on, and we just start conversing. And a lot of our times, our conversations go into all these IPs. And we start theory crafting these IPs, and it's a lot of fun talk. So look for that on April 1st. That's going to be our ongoing every other Monday in between the Toy Chest show. So I just wanted to throw that out there, making sure that everybody has subscribed and hit that bell notification for all our future content. But with our individual plugs and everything, Ernie, thank you for joining us.
Take it away, Ernie.
I don't care how late it is. I got to see your face. So take it away.
Sorry, man, but yes.
No.
Haven't had a chance to go watch the episode, go watch it again. Don't worry that Star Wars spoiled it, because it sounds like it was a great episode. So definitely catch up on that. And if you're just joining us, catch up on all the other shows as well, too, because Bad Batch is a really good series, and I'm really liking this season. And then go and catch up on all our past shows and all of our other content, because we have tons of content for you. So when you hit that subscribe button, hit the bell for notifications and hit all so you don't miss when we're on with all these different shows coming up on Mondays that Moocher was talking about and other specials that we've had in the past and more to come. Tonight's sponsor is Toshi Station Emporium for all your figure stand needs. to hype up your photography, to make your display stand just that much more better. Where's Quick Kid?
Threw him off.
Oh, I haven't opened him yet because Scott's gonna do a 1 minute toy review on him.
Son of
he gets to play with him first.
Yes. Our sponsor, Rhino Hobbies. I read Rhino Hobbies. My bad. Tashi Station Emporium is our sponsor, not Rhino Hobbies. I was thinking of somebody else who's waiting for their quick kick. We're going to go raid Marco's house and get all of our Joe figures that we need.
Yeah.
If you did order those Jedi figures, get some Tashi Station Emporium stands because they'll make them that much more better.
Yeah, more better.
You'll need
them. More better.
Because they only come with a lightsaber, and that's it.
You want to preserve the pose? Let's preserve the pose. Otherwise,
That's a deluxe. What? You came with a lightsaber?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
You painted the hilt?
What a great tagline. Great tagline for Tashi Station Emporium. Preserve the pose.
Yeah.
I like that.
I'll write that down.
Write it down. Don't lose it. Okay, order now and you'll get the first sticky note
trademark in
your order, maybe, that says preserve the pose. We'll see. Yeah. You're lucky.
I should put the show notes. This is my show notes. I should put show notes in the thing.
In which one? And in every other order.
It's just my math for Acolyte numbers. Hey, that's all it is.
The first person in the chat right now that goes on to TashiStationEmporium.com and buys some stands gets those show notes from tonight's episode. In the box.
Okay.
Sign it, Moocher. Sign it right now. Sign it live on the air so they can't lie. They have their
proof. He's been doodling dicks on there the whole night.
Yeah, I have to redraw this.
Got the one with the hoodie.
Yeah. The Jedi robe.
That's a veiny beast.
Yeah. I think Moocher drove an aardvark. That's not an aardvark.
I'm in that phase. I'm sorry. I'm in a phase.
I'm going to order it right now. I don't want to be the one to have it. Look what I got. Yeah. And then check out all of our own social media, which you see all below our own names. And we will see you next week on a brand new episode of the Sarlacc Digest podcast. Go watch those other last episodes, please, for every Monday. And stay connected with us on all social media. We'll see you.
I guaranteed you're going to get lost in the convo.
Always do.
All right, cool. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, everybody in the pit. With that, Scott.
Keep it nerdy, everybody. See you Monday.